Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 771. The topic is Q&A and the title is Getting More Without Giving More. Wouldn't that be nice? So how can we get more without giving more? What we're talking about today is in regards to our training. Someone reached out, thank you to someone, and thank you to the listeners who do reach out and send us emails. And they said that they're struggling to kind of reach all the goals that they have set. They feel kind of confused or just unsure of how they can structure their workouts to get more from the time they spend. They say when they try to rush, they just feel flustered, and maybe they'll do their strength stuff that day, but they don't do muscle development. Maybe they'll do cardio, but they'll forget to do the strength stuff. And it just kind of feels overwhelming as to how they can reach all of their goals. So, what I want to talk about today are some ways in which we can get more in regards to like stimulus and results without having to spend more time in the gym. How do we maximize the time we're already spending? This would be great for people who have short workout times. They have very demanding schedules. Maybe they only can allocate 20, 30 minutes here or there. They don't really get the big, long, like hour and a half, 2 hours that they see some other people spend in the gym. But how can they still get the results that those people get? Also, then if you do have enough time for long workouts, how can you still get the most from the time you are spending? So this is helpful for whether somebody's in a rush or whether they're just kind of in the normal workout. But what we want to talk about is, what can we do to be ready to train well? And then how can we train well? So how can we get more from the training? But we're also going to talk about how do we get more before we even start. Now, this means that the first place we're going to look at is mindset and preparation. So if you're going into a workout and you want to get the most amount of results out of whatever time you have, you can't give more time, but you do want more results, then we have to give more effort. So with the time that we have to be prepared to give more of ourselves. We're going to talk about how to kind of make the most of what you're going to give, but you have to decide what you're willing to give. What this means is that you have to be mentally engaged and very purposeful to not waste time. When you get in the gym, whether it's home gym or out in public, don't get distracted. Don't play on your phone and search internet like Facebook and Instagram or whatever the hell people do nowadays. I don't even know. But stay off your damn phone. You're going to get sidetracked, and what should have been a 30-second rest is going to turn into a 2.5 minutes. So keep the phone away from you. If you're like, well, I have to have it for business, well, then turn the ringer on and still keep the phone away from you. I have trained over 2,000 people in 18 years, no one that I trained had to have their phone with them continuously. Even people in emergency situations, they could turn their phone on, the ringer on full blast, and we put the phone in the middle of the gym on some piece of machine that like was still within hearing distance no matter where we went. So maybe if we went outside, they would bring it with us outside, but they wouldn't turn it on, they wouldn't look at the screen, they wouldn't try to read a message, they would stay focused. If you're in a public gym where you have people around you, shut the hell up and get to work. Don't get into 5-minute conversations. I just had someone tell me the other day that I asked them what they were doing in not as kind of a way because they're a client of mine and they were in the gym and they were talking and I timed it. They talked for 4.5 minutes. And this was in like maybe the second working set and they still had 3 more to go. So you're not supposed to take a 4.5-minute break. I know that because I rate their programming. They're supposed to take a 2, maybe maximal 3-minute break. They took a 4.5-minute rest. So after their next set, I walked over and I said, what the hell are you doing? And I actually said it that way because I'm frustrated with this person because they're capable of being very, very, very great at what their goals are. So that usually fires me up to be even more of a jerk because I know how much awesomeness they have in them that I want them to be able to see that potential. So I said, what the hell are you doing? And they looked at me and I said, why are you talking to people? And I know that sounds horrible, but they just kind of looked and they said, well, you talk to me. And I said, oh, shut up. I said, you're an adult. Take control of yourself. Tell them to shut up or turn around and walk away. You shouldn't be taking a 4.5-minute rest when it's only supposed to be 2 to 3 minutes. And they knew that if I said 4.5 minutes, they know I probably timed it, which I did. So they didn't bother arguing. Then they shut up and they got the rest of their workout in. You can be social, you can talk before or after, but if you truly want to get the most from what you're doing, you have to be doing, okay? That makes sense. If I want to get the most from what I can do in 30 minutes, I have to be doing during the 30 minutes. I can't be talking to somebody for 4.5 minutes and then wonder why I'm not getting the best results. Shut the hell up. That's how you get the best results. Okay? Stop moving your mouth and start moving your muscles. So that client, hopefully they'll listen to this because I'm giving them more shit, which I already gave them earlier in the week. So deal with it. But that's what we want to be mindful of, is our mindset. You want to be in the gym, purposeful, trying to get after it. Try to minimize any downtime, minimize distractions. Be excited, be ready. Think of it as the more efficient I can become, the better results I can get. So try to make it a game of efficiency. Try to be efficient. Try to stay moving, stay active, stay engaged. Your mindset will determine whether the rest of what I'm going to talk about will ever work, because your mind has to be into it, okay? Second thing is be prepared. So like the Eagle Scouts, I'm an Eagle Scout, so like the Boy Scouts say, be prepared. That's their motto, by the way. Already have your plan set. Already know what you're supposed to be doing before you walk in. This helps if you have somebody programming for you. If you're one of my clients, I include video tutorials for every exercise. So already watch the videos, if you don't know a movement, before you get in the gym. Don't get in the gym, go through your warm-ups of, you know, the first 2 or 3 exercises, and then have to watch the video of the final exercise with your thumb up your butt, just sitting there watching your phone. So try to watch the videos before you come in. Now they'll say, well, I didn't have time beforehand. Bullshit. Sit in the parking lot when you got in the gym parking lot. Watch, like, read through the workout, make sure you know the exercises. If you don't know one of them, watch the video outside. Make sure you watch the videos before you start. That way, once you get started, you can stay started. You can stay active. You don't have to get on your phone to look up the video and then all of a sudden get lost on text messages, emails, and social media bullshit. So again, this is your choice, your decision. You're in control. Your choice. So get after it, be engaged, and already have a plan set. Already know what you're supposed to do before you walk through the door. Now, the first rule of our gym is to not bother me while I'm working out. The reason why is I bust my ass, and I'm honest in saying this. I spend all damn day trying to make sure that this gym stays open and that I get to live the life that I live and help people. I enjoy it very much. However, I'm human. I need some downtime. I recharge by being away from people. I'm an introvert at heart, which sounds funny because I make a podcast. But I'm an introvert at heart. So I recharge by being alone. When I work out, that's my recharge time. If somebody comes and tries to talk to me while I'm working out, I am irrationally pissed off because it is the only time during the day that I try to set for myself. I try not to be a selfish human being. Not that, you know, if somebody takes more time, they're selfish. But I'm mindful of trying to give my best to people. So when I ask people to leave me alone and let me recharge, I appreciate it if they listen to that because I do my best at all their times for what they need. So it feels good then to know that they're paying attention to what my needs are. So kind of a give and take. So when I walk out my office door, I'll already have my headphones on and I'll already know what I'm supposed to be doing. But sometimes people will come over and they'll go, hey man, before you start. And I always tell them, I go, I already started. And what I mean by that is by the time I walked out my door, I already knew what I was doing. And I'm already in it in my head. I'm already active. I'm already ready. So I am already engaged by the time I enter the gym. You need to be the same way too. The second you enter the gym, you should already be engaged. You should already be purposeful. Moving, moving, moving. Get your ass moving. Okay? So another thing we can do to make sure we're prepared is to eat some damn food. Pay attention to your nutrition before you start working out. Before I drive across country, I do need to put gas in my car. I cannot drive my car without having gasoline in my car. We know that. There's no way around that. The car just will not run if there's no gasoline in it. Unfortunately, our body can run even if we don't put food in it. We have stored energy in the form of body fat. Our body already knows how to break down other tissues for energy, such as muscle tissue. We can run off adrenaline and cortisol and all these other crazy hormones. Our body can, it's a good thing that it can run without being fed. That way we don't die. But it's also kind of a bummer that it can run without being fed, because then we don't realize how detrimental we are being to our physical health and our performance by running our body on empty. People mask this with a bunch of caffeine, so they're underfed and they just have a bunch of caffeine and their body's running off caffeine and cortisol. It's not going to go well. Now, they don't know that. They don't know that their performance is shit because that's the way they normally do it. They don't know that their recovery is shit because that's the way they normally do it. They don't know that that's a detrimental process because they haven't yet done it the right way. Once you do it the right way, you feel, holy crap, I can be this strong. Holy crap, I can feel this good between my workouts. I don't have to have a knee pain. I don't have to have hip pain. I don't have to have shoulder pain, back pain. I can feel good. Are you kidding me? It's because they were eating well and they're sleeping well. So until someone eats well and sleeps well on a regular basis, they won't then recognize how shitty they actually feel doing stuff the wrong way. So have carbohydrates before you work out. Carbohydrates are faster digesting sources of energy rather compared to fats, which are our other energy nutrient. Now, we do get calories from protein, but we want to leave that for repair and growth and kind of fixing the body. We don't really want to use the calories of protein towards energy, so we want to make sure we eat enough carbs and fats that they are used towards energy. So, carbohydrates, they digest quicker, therefore we can have them available to us to be able to use quicker. So what this means is, if I want to have energy in 15 minutes, and I'm eating 15 minutes before my workout, I want to have food that is digestible and usable in 15 minutes. That's sugars. So you want to have sugar-based carbohydrates if you're eating within, say, 30 minutes before the workout. That could be fruit, it could be a Gatorade drink, it could be any damn thing under the sun that has sugar in it, so I'm not going to sit here and list everything. If something has sugar as the main caloric source of that food, it's probably the best thing to have 30 minutes before the workout. I have people say, like, I want to lose fat. If I drink Gatorade, I'm going to get fat. No, you're not. That's stupid. If you have excess calories of anything, you get fat. If you're fueling yourself to work out, that is not going to make you fat. You're actually going to have a better workout. You're going to have a better stimulus for muscle damage and caloric use. You're actually going to get leaner over time by properly fueling your workouts and having kick-ass workouts. If you work out fasted, if you work out underfed, you feel like shit, you move like shit, you lift like shit. Therefore, you're not going to get all the results that you want. So eat some damn food before you work out. Carbohydrates, if it's 30 minutes before the workout or shorter than that. If you're kind of over 30 minutes away from the workout, you can have probably like some fats or a mixture of fats and carbs. But the idea is to have some form of carbohydrates and fats before you work out. If you're under 30 minutes before the workout, focus on carbs instead of fats. So that way you're fueled, you're filled up, you're ready to go. You can also have an intra-workout drink. You can drink carbohydrates in the form of sugar. Liquid sugar, not food sugar. Don't eat gummy bears and gummy worms and shit like that. So the gelatin and the other things in it are just going to mess it up and slow it down. Just drink some damn Gatorade and be done with it. So we want to remember that the sugars during the workout are going to hopefully serve us a purpose. It's not time for you to just eat stupid fun treats that aren't as purposeful towards your goal. So drink some sugars during the workout. Again, that's like putting gasoline in the car as you drive the car. That's great. That's exactly what we want to do. Then after the workout, make sure you eat some damn food. That's when your body's going to repair itself and heal up from what you did to it, damage-wise, be able to make the adaptations to the stimuluses that you created so that you can move forward. If you don't eat after the workout, you're not going to get any damn results. You're just going to tear your body down, and then it just slowly stays torn down and refills maybe the next day as you eat some food here and there, and it never refills back as much as it can. It's never going to grow as much muscle as it can if you underfeed your recovery. So, have carbohydrates before the workout. Have carbohydrates during the workout. After the workout, eat a damn meal, okay? And that could be carbs and fats with protein. Just make sure there's some protein in there. Those two things make sure that we're prepared for the workout. Then, how can we get more results from the time we're already dedicating to our workout? Well, do more work. Do more work within the time that you're working out. That is going to help you be able to create a greater stimulus during the workout time. How do we do more work without trying to like seem like a psychopath and being crazy out of breath? Well, the first thing we can do is to understand that if I'm standing around, I'm wasting time. This doesn't mean you need to do jumping jacks between your warm-ups. But what it does mean is there are things you can do to use your recovery time between sets of exercises more productively. So rather than doing an exercise and then standing around for 2 minutes and then doing the next set, stand around for 2 minutes, do the next set, stand around for 2 minutes, do the next set. Why are you standing around for 2 minutes? That's a waste of time, okay? We have three techniques I'm going to give you as an idea to use. So write this down if you want to, or email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. And I have the outline for the podcast. It has kind of the individual things that we're talking about. It's a topical outline, so it's not a written description, but it can help kind of spark your memory. So if you want that, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I can always send you the kind of outline for the podcast. So the first thing we can use, technique-wise, is what's called a non-competing relatable superset. Now, what is a superset? A superset is when you perform a set of one exercise directly into a set of a second exercise. Now, what do we mean by directly? What this means is we're going to do a set of one exercise, and then in like 10, 15 seconds, we're going to pick up a new exercise, get a new piece of equipment, or do new things, and do the second exercise. An example of this would be doing one-arm dumbbell rows and dumbbell chest presses. You do the set of the chest presses. You kind of rest maybe 15, 20, 30 seconds. You grab the dumbbell. You do a one-arm row on each arm. Okay, you rest 15, 20 seconds. You pick the next weight you need for the dumbbell chest press. You go into the dumbbell chest press. Then you go into the next weight for the row. So you go back and forth, but you kind of do one exercise, you adjust the weights, go into the next exercise, adjust the weights, you go back and forth. Non-competing relatable means that you're not using the exact same muscles. Non-competing means exercise one and exercise two don't use the same muscles. They don't compete for the same musculature. Relatable means that they're in some way relatable to each other, that they help each other. So for example, a row and a press involves the push and pull muscles of the upper body. So if you put together a press and a row, especially a chest press and a row, you're going to get most of the musculature of the upper body. So it's a really great superset to train your entire upper body very quickly, because you're going from push muscle into pull muscles, push muscles into pull muscles, and you cover everything in the upper body. So those are relatable. Another example we have is non-competing unrelatable supersets. What this means is that exercise one and exercise two have nothing to do with each other. An example of this is if we want our calves to grow, I might do calves, a set of calf raises between everything I do for, like, say, a shoulder workout. So maybe I'm doing lateral raises, then calf raises. Maybe I go into overhead press with calf raises. Maybe I go into reverse flies with calf raises. Then maybe I do a machine overhead press rather than a free weight overhead press with calf raises. So you just kind of superset this trailing superset, this thing that you want to build up, but it doesn't relate necessarily to what you're actually working on. This is great for calf raises. This is great for ab work. We even do this for growing the shoulders, the lat, like the mid-delts. So if I'm doing a back workout, I can superset lateral raises with everything I do, and it won't hurt my back workout. I can also do a leg workout and superset lateral raises with everything I do, and it won't hurt my leg workout. But it gets us that higher volume on shoulders, so it's a great way to build them up. Then the third technique we have is stabilization and mover supersets. So I have a big movement that I want to do, and maybe there is a stabilization or positional muscle that helps me perform that big movement that's kind of weak. Well, I would do a set of exercises for, I would do a single exercise for that weak area right before the big movement. Example of this would be doing core work before squats and deadlifts. If somebody needs to improve their core stabilization to prevent themselves from being rounded over in the deadlift and the squat, they can superset core work right before the squat or right before the deadlift. So they can do planks and then squat. Or they can do, you know, banded crunches and then squat. They can do twisting rotational movements and then squat. But you would actually superset what would be a stabilization muscle before a movement that it's involved in. The idea of this one is a little more technical to like strength development and performance development, but it's a great concept. Is if I know bracing my shoulder blades together and having them pulled down and in allows me to overhead press better, I might do behind the neck pull downs and then go into the overhead press. The behind the neck pull down stimulates the ability for me to pull my shoulder blades down and in and be stable. I'm then going to use that stabilization for the overhead press. So that's kind of an idea of that. So instead of doing, in that example, an overhead press for three sets of five and having these big long rests between the three sets, I would now be doing the pull downs in between the sets of presses. That means I'm going to be doing work during the rest times that I maybe previously was not having done work. This allows me to get more of a stimulus than I normally had done, but I'm not spending more time. That same rest period that I would normally take for 3 to 5 minutes, I'm now doing with back exercises. So it's going to help me get a better developed back, but it's not going to require me to take any more time in the gym. I was already taking the rest time from the big lift. You can do this with completely unrelatable things. Like we said, that non-competing unrelated superset. So maybe between deadlifts, I do sled work just for like conditioning. Maybe I do jumps. Jumps are actually really awesome to do between deadlifts because it helps me build explosivity and power. So there are many ways in which that we can superset movements together that allow me to better utilize my recovery time rather than just standing there with my thumb up my butt doing nothing. So that's one thing we definitely want to do, is to use our recovery time. And there's many other techniques, but one technique is to use supersets. Okay. So that is a great way to be busy and active during the recovery time. Another tip we have is efficiency in weight selection. Don't waste your time doing a shit ton of warm-ups when you don't really need them. So I've talked to clients before, and maybe they're doing a cable seated row, and they want to warm up to 80 pounds. So they do a set of, 40, 50, 60, 70, and then they do their working sets at 80. You didn't need all that stuff ahead of time. So you maybe could have done one set of 60 and then went right to the 80 pounds. So small movements really only require maybe one or two warm-ups. That's it. Don't spend a lot of time warming up small movements. So if I'm doing lateral raises, I can probably do one warm-up set or even just go right to my first working set. So if I know my first working set would be about 10 pounds, and maybe I'm already warmed up because this is later in the workout, I would just go right to 10 pounds. If it's at the beginning of the workout and I want a little more time to warm up, maybe I'll do a set of fives for 20, and then I'll go to 10 pounds. But small movements really only require one or two warm-ups. That's it. Now, what about big movements like squats or deadlifts? If you try to only have one warm-up before a max effort working set of squats, you're probably going to die. So in those ones, you want to aim for at most 7 warm-ups. Typically in big movements, 4 to 7 warm-ups is a pretty good kind of area. So if I'm warming up to, say, a 405-pound squat, I might do the bar, 135 pounds. Excuse me for 1 second. So I might do the bar, 135 pounds, 225, 315, maybe 365, then 405. So that gave me 5 warm-up sets, enough that I got used to the weight movement, and I'm ready and prepared, but I didn't spend forever doing it. I didn't do the bar 95, 135, 185, 225, 275, 315, 345, 365, 385, then 405. That would be 10 freaking warm-up sets. You don't need 10 freaking warm-up sets. So be efficient in your weight selection. Be efficient in your warm-ups. Make sure you've practiced the movement and you feel prepared to do it. Make sure the muscles involved in the movement feel like they're kind of moving well. They're not sticky and stiff. You're feeling like you're moving well. But you don't need a million warm-up sets. Remember that warm-up sets, things that are sub-maximal effort, meaning if I'm doing a set of 135-pound squats before my 405, I'm not going to get any growth from that. 135 isn't doing anything other than allowing me to feel more comfortable by the time I get to 405. So remember that your warm-up sets don't make progress. So don't spend all time doing those. We don't care about those ones. We want them because they're necessary, but we don't get much from them, so don't spend your time doing them above what is minimally needed. Good. Last thing we have is to consider that big effort is more important than big volume. Rather than doing 5 sets of 5 when I really could have done 6 or 7 reps, I might be best doing 1 set of 8 where I destroyed myself, killed myself, really, really, really went after it. There is a form of training that has a moniker called dog crap or DC training. Horrible name. But they often kind of have this idea where you do 2 or 3 movements, like warm-up movement, like sets, and then you do 1 all-out crazy effort set. There are really famous bodybuilders like Dorian Yates who believed in that. So if he's warming up to like his best set of an incline press, remember this is a maximum, like Mr. Olympia bodybuilder, so he might have been able to incline press like 405 pounds. So he might have done 135 for 5, or 10, like 5 to 10. He then did 225 for 5, 315 for 5, and then he just did 405 for as many as he could. Maybe he got 8. That's it. Then you walk away and move away. So rather than doing, you know, a set of 6, a set of 6, a set of 6, he just did 1 crazy-ass set of 8, and that destroyed his muscles, beat him up, and he got to walk away and saved some time. So rather than doing a bunch of, like, working sets that are kind of sort of challenging, get yourself psyched up. Get your mind right, and do 1 all-out set. So if you're looking to save time, but you want to have great results, and so say you want a deadlift in 30 minutes, you want a deadlift workout. Well, you might have a 10-minute warm-up to make sure everything's ready. You go to the deadlift, maybe you like are deadlifting 405, and you're supposed to normally do, say, 5 sets of 5. Well, you do 135 for 2 or 3, 225 for 2 or 3, 315 for 2 or 3. Then at 405, you go all out. Maybe you get 7. Set a 2-minute timer, go all out again. Maybe only get 4. And then you walk away. But the 2 sets taken to complete exhaustion are going to provide a great stimulus that is either going to be equal to or sometimes even better than the 5 sets done with the first 2 to 3 sets being done submaximal, knowing that you have to do more sets. So often if somebody's doing 5 sets, they dog it and do it easy on sets 1 and 2 to make sure they can make it to set 5. That's not the freaking point. The point is that you have 5 sets that kill you, 5 sets that kick your ass. So don't be a baby on sets 1 and 2 and 3 and then try to save it up for the end. If you're going to save it up for something, just do it for the first damn 1 or 2 sets and save yourself some time. So these are some tips that are going to help us get more from the time that we already spent. Hopefully this helped. Remember that your mindset and preparation are most important. Make sure you're fed beforehand, so make sure your nutrition is right. Fed beforehand, intra-workout during, big meal afterwards. You can think of active recovery, use your downtime. Do those superset techniques we talked about. Efficiency and weight selection, don't waste time warming up all the time. And then think of big effort over big volume. If I give my best, I don't need as many sets. So that's very, very, very important to think of. Okay, so hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully it sparked some ideas. Give these a try. If you have any questions, like this person who sent in a question, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We're very, very, very happy and appreciative that you're listening to the podcast. I truly hope it helps you. I hope it gives you all the information that you need to live your healthiest and happiest life. If it doesn't, if there's anything you need from us, if there's any questions you have control of that. You have the power. You can email us. Email us your questions at brutalirongym@gmail.com and we'll help. We're also offering free consultations right now. You can do a consultation over the phone. We record it and everybody listens in and learns from it. They're anonymous. You don't have to give us your name. Just tell us what you're struggling with and we'll tell you how to fix it. Absolutely free. Holy freaking crap. You're welcome. So, if you're interested in that, again, just reach out to us or email brutalirongym@gmail.com and you know, we'll get that scheduled and help you out. Okay, for all the things, check out our website, www.brutalirongym.com. If you like the podcast, if you think it's helpful, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we help, the healthier and happier lives they can live. So please, please, please share the podcast. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us on our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.